Markets respond to the attack on oil facilities in Saudi Arabia. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. A drone attack in Saudi Arabia is causing major disruption in global oil markets. The strikes on two key oil production facilities have knocked offline about 5% of global crude oil output. For more on this, I'm joined by Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning.
Good morning.
How is this attack rippling through the market so far?
Well, we did see oil prices spike quite a bit overnight and have come back a little bit since then. I think there is some optimism, some wait and see on how quickly the Saudis will get the production back up and running. And there was also the announcement from President Trump that they will release some of the strategic oil reserves. So we're down off the highs, but we're still quite a bit higher than we were on Friday.
Houthi rebels in Yemen are claiming responsibility for this attack and have promised more attacks to come. What are the long-term economic consequences here?
Well, I think that brings in a whole different risk, which is, could we see some sort of geopolitical conflict, which would not just be about oil prices, but be about broader geopolitical risks that could affect a wider range of businesses. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on and that markets will be tracking very closely.
Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
World leaders are meeting in New York City today for the United Nations General Assembly. The gathering is also a chance for U.S. trade officials to meet on the sidelines with their global counterparts. Such meetings may help finalize the details of a pending trade deal with Japan. U.S. and Japanese leaders came to a tentative agreement last month at the G7 conference in France. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has the details.
A deal with Japan could be a rare bright spot for American farmers who have been hit hard by ongoing trade tensions.
It's been very difficult. We've been in the eye of the storm.
Nick Giordano is with the National Pork Producers Council. He says Japan had been the industry's biggest value market, but the U.S. has fallen behind competitors like Australia there since President Trump pulled out of the region-wide Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement early in his presidency.
This deal will put us on a level playing field with our competitors.
It remains to be seen whether Japan will also agree to open its markets to U.S. rice. Maria Solis with the Brookings Institution says a lot rests on one big question.
Will Japan get an assurance that the United States, that the Trump administration, will not impose a 25% tariff for a national security threat?
Which would threaten Japan's most important export, cars. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Just after midnight, about 48,000 workers at General Motors facilities across the U.S. went on strike. Some United Auto Workers members have already joined picket lines outside company factories. It's the first nationwide GM strike in 12 years and is expected to immediately shut down the company's operations. For more on this, I'm joined by Art Wheaton, a union expert at Cornell University's School of Industrial and Labor Relations. Good morning.
Good morning.
So can you give us a sense of the cost of this strike, both for GM and the workers?
Well, there have been estimates all over the map for how much it costs. Could be as much as $100 million a day for General Motors by shutting down the entire auto system in North America. Because if they shut down the U.S., it will also impact both Canada and Mexico. So it's a very significant event. For the UAW, instead of getting a lot more in their wages, they're only going to get $250 per week. So it's nowhere near what they're needing to make to be able to pay their bills. So it costs the union money, and it definitely costs General Motors money.
And what are the sticking points in this negotiation right now?
There's quite a few. One of the biggest ones is the UAW in the past agreed to have a multi-tiered wage system where the people that have been there a long time would get about $24 per hour in their base wage. New hires might get $17 an hour, but then they started hiring a lot of temporary workers and they might get $15 an hour. all three workers doing the same job at the same time in the same place, getting three very different pay differences. And it's not just the pay. There's a huge difference in what the benefits package is for each of those tiers or each of those types of workers. And from General Motors' perspective, they say our average pay rate is already higher than what they pay at Honda, Toyota, Nissan, and the others. We think we pay plenty. We don't want to give you more. And the major sticking point is the membership in the UAW tend to look back at what GM has done the last 4 years. GM has to look at their crystal ball and say, what do we think we're going to see in the next 4 years? And I think the next 4 years are going to be less profitable than the last 4 years. So it makes it tougher for General Motors to give significant pay increases.
Art Wheaton is a union expert at Cornell University's School of Industrial and Labor Relations. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And that strike has GM stock trading down about 2.1% this morning. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.